This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on strengthening partnership between India and Singapore. The participants are Professor Swaran Singh, international relations expert, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
India and Singapore enjoy historically strong ties. The bilateral relationship between the two countries will complete 60 years next year. Prime Minister Modi has visited Singapore a couple of times and now in his third term paid a two-day visit to Singapore. He had multiple engagements in Singapore and met the President, Prime Minister and several other dignitaries. To discuss more on this, I am joined by Professor Swaran Singh. Professor Singh, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Professor Singh, to begin with, I would like you to give a brief background of the India-Singapore bilateral relationship over the years.
I think apparently there are many ways one can look at India-Singapore relationship. More contemporary times, we see that India has been focused on what is called Look East to Act East policy to now Indo-Pacific vision and strategy and also Look Far East and so on. And in this entire very dynamic and rapidly growing region where India is engaging, Singapore is seen as a kind of a very important relationship, which could either be seen as a springboard for India or hub of India's engagement. To give a simple example, India has about $122 billion worth of trade with ASEAN countries, of which about 30%, which is about $35 billion, is only with a small country called Singapore. And I think that underlines the kind of unusual relationship India has. Indeed, earlier we used to hear Mauritius being the source of foreign direct investment in India. Last year, Singapore was the largest source of India's foreign direct investment. Indeed, in the last 24 years, $160 billion worth of investments have come from Singapore. So in contemporary terms, Singapore is very significant. One could also go back to ancient history of Chola dynasty, when entire India's cultural and commercial focus was in that region. During British time, there was an equation when indeed the Bengal presidency used to control this whole region, which today is Singapore and areas around it. So in many ways, Indian diaspora, for example, 10% of Singapore population is that of Indians. So multiple ways in also Singapore has India as the fourth largest source of tourism, tourists going to Singapore. So in many ways, and of course that has resulted in a whole spectrum of relationships of defense and security, maritime security, economic, political, social, all kinds of relationships. This visit very clearly had a focus on future-looking kind of partnerships that India wants to build, and therefore focus was on areas of semiconductor, of artificial intelligence, of skill building and so on. That underlines the complementarity of a relationship. Singapore has deficits of physical space and manpower. India can complement that very clearly, and therefore I think both see enormous advantage and win-win kind of an opportunity for both Singapore and India to take their relationship, what is being called now, to the next level. And I think that has been the focus of this particular visit, which is actually the fifth visit of Prime Minister Narendra Modi to Singapore.
Professor Singh, you highlighted the FDI inflows from Singapore, and you have rightly mentioned that one of the largest FDI inflows in India comes from Singapore. I would like to bring your focus now on the importance of ASEAN-India trade in goods agreement. Both the Prime Ministers had a discussion on this, and prior to Prime Minister's visit, the External Affairs Ministry also spoke about it and said that the officials will push to have a discussion on it. So what do you feel, how has this been in focus during the talks between both the leaders?
Invariably, Singapore definitely sets the tone of how rest of the 9 ASEAN countries would also be engaging India. Incidentally, this was also the first prime ministerial visit to Brunei by Indian Prime Minister, which also is going to open up a whole lot of new cooperation for India and other ASEAN countries. And Singapore, in that sense, is an indicator of how things will move between India and ASEAN. What is very interesting is also to note that Singapore, right from Lee Kuan Yew, the father of Singapore nation, has been looking at their relationship with China and India as two wings of the world that is going to take the flight. And Singapore has maintained great balance in engaging both China and India. For example, China's trade with Singapore is about $75 billion. India's trade with Singapore is about $35 billion, which is little more than half of China's. But if you look at China's trade with ASEAN nations and India's trade with ASEAN nations, the picture is very different. India has about $122 billion of trade with ASEAN nations. China has now $911 billion of. So in that sense, not just in terms of having a strong relationship, but also ensuring balanced relationship that Singapore has demonstrated as it looks at India as a very important counterbalance to China becoming inordinately influential in that region. And that message clearly goes to other ASEAN nations also. For example, not just balance, but also in regional stability. Now there are the situation in Myanmar, in India's neighborhood, more recently in Bangladesh. And Bangladesh-Myanmar also have a strong relationship because of Bangladesh having received Rohingya refugees there. So this disruption of situations in neighboring countries, again, makes India and Singapore important stakeholders in ensuring political stability is revived in these regions. And since the world now hopes ASEAN to take the lead in resolving issues in Myanmar, I think that kind of sharing of notes between India and Singapore on what is happening in Myanmar, how to resolve that issue is important. So ensuring that ASEAN nations become dynamic, prosperous, stable is also part of that vision that India has as India seeks to expand trade, investment and joint development partnerships with several ASEAN countries. And for all of these, Singapore provides, I think, an ideal template of how to build that cooperation with emerging India, which is seeing 8% plus growth rate, expected to be the third largest economy, maybe even earlier than 2030, because the trends of yen devaluation in Japan, recessionary trends in Germany mean that India could be third largest earlier than 2030. And then there are expectations world would have, howsoever distant third India is. So in that sense, India's responsibilities in building economic partnerships becomes rather nuanced in not just ensuring just the bilateral trade and investments, but also ensuring that political stability and growth rates in these countries also continue to be robust so that they can build important partnerships with India. And in that context, Singapore, I think, is a very good example of political stability. And that's why media was mentioning Indian Prime Minister meeting three generations of leaders in Singapore. And this was important also because Lawrence Wong, the Prime Minister of Singapore, has just taken over as Prime Minister. And Indian Prime Minister likes to build those personal bonds with world leaders wherever he goes. And in many ways, therefore, I think this is a kind of a larger picture which is to be kept in mind when specific areas of partnerships are built with specific countries. And that was, I think, clearly the tone of all the negotiations and outcomes that we see now that happened in Singapore visit of Indian Prime Minister.
Professor Singh, your explanation was very lucid. I would now like to draw your attention to India and Singapore's deep and long-standing defense relationship, and this figured in the talks between the two leaders. In your opinion, how important is strong defense ties between both the countries? How important it is for the Indo-Pacific to have a strong India and Singapore relationship?
I think it is important then to understand that defense cooperation between India and Singapore goes as far back as early 90s. In fact, 1994 onwards, India and Singapore navies have been doing joint naval exercises called Melan, which is much larger, and bilateral, which is Simbex exercise. And from there, we had moved forward to focusing on defense cooperation. And in defense cooperation, in 2003, the first defense cooperation agreement was signed, which involved mutual military trainings, developing military technologies, focusing on maritime security, fighting terrorism, and so on. And that same agreement was later expanded and revived again in 2017, which separately focused on armed forces, army, navy, and even India and Singapore even have had air exercises. So militaries of two sides have been really constantly been cooperating together, and that has ensured that the strategic partnership that was the way India and Singapore defined their relationship in 2015, which has now become comprehensive strategic partnership with this visit, involved all possible sectors, including now access to mutual military bases. For example, Indian ships in the region can have access to Changi naval base for refurbishing, replenishing, resting, which is reflection of enormous mutual confidence that two militaries have showcased. And what is most important now is the focus on also joint research and development, which is, I think, very interesting new part of the bilateral relationship between India and Singapore.
Interestingly, Prime Minister's visit had a special focus on the semiconductor industry. And I would also like to mention that both the countries have signed 4 MOUs, which include semiconductor, digital technology, skill development and health. So first of all, I would like you to talk about this semiconductor, because Singapore plays an important role in global semiconductor market. How will Singapore help in India's semiconductor mission?
In all modern technologies that we are either using on everyday basis, or technologies that are meant to produce these technologies, the heavy machines and so on, all of them are increasingly becoming independent and require semiconductor chips. And therefore, that has become a very critical component for any advanced manufacturing of any country. Second is also important to understand that India has been lately staking claims to emerge as one of the significant producing country for semiconductor chips in that sense. And India is trying with various countries and companies how that cooperation can lead India to become one of the substantial country to produce semiconductor chips, which India also needs, of course. Now, when it comes to Singapore, 10% of global exports of semiconductor chips come from Singapore. Of the 15 top countries in the world involved in production of semiconductor chips, 9 of them have presence in Singapore. So Singapore, when it comes to semiconductors, can be a very useful partner, whether it is in terms of skill development or it is providing in terms of components to the building of chips or supporting best practices and how to manufacture these things on the ground. A lot of areas, even in semiconductor manufacturing of chips, would involve India-Singapore cooperation, which obviously is complementary because Singapore has manpower and land deficit, which India can complement. And therefore, indeed, skill development is common to all the 4 MOUs signed, whether they are in other sectors of healthcare, of education, of telecommunications and so on, and semiconductors. So I think complementary of a relationship is very significant, and if one has to pick and choose one sector where I think the focus was in achieving, you know, forward movement in partnership, definitely semiconductor sector was the most important sector where India and Singapore wants to build a very strong partnership.
Rightly said, Professor Singh. The other important area which was the focus of Prime Minister's visit was the digital technologies. And both the Prime Ministers have welcomed the signing of MOU on cooperation in the field of digital technologies and affirm common interest in the area of AI and cyber security. I would also like to remind listeners that both the Prime Ministers commended the success of UPI and PayNow linkage which happened last year. Professor Singh, I would now like you to make us understand how are both the countries advancing when it comes to digital technologies?
I think India has become a very unique kind of an example, particularly in terms of large-scale use of digital public infrastructure, DPIs. That's one. Second, India has also become a unique example of sharing these advanced online platforms for free. In fact, historically, advanced technologies were never available for free. Either were not available or were available for high costs. So that again puts India in a very, very interesting, unique situation. And that makes India attractive also in that sense of being able to develop online platforms, whether it is to deal with pandemic or we deal with digitalization of economic transactions, online payments and so on, which is interesting because Singapore otherwise is technically very advanced, very digitalized in the economy. And there are sectors where India has done experiments of an enormous large scale in that sense and have proven that these large-scale experiments can be really fruitful. So both, I think, can be complementary.
Professor Singh, lastly, very important pillar of the relationship between the two countries is the people-to-people ties. And I would also like to mention here that around 3.5 lakh Indians reside in Singapore. And also both the Prime Ministers had a word about the people-to-people and cultural linkages.
Absolutely. There's a large number of, I'm told about 10% of Singapore population is people of Indian origin or Indian citizens. Then India is the 4th largest supplier of tourists into Singapore. And if you look at Prime Minister Modi's foreign policy focusing on engaging diaspora and underlining the cultural linkages, that creates pro-India and India-friendly constituencies in all these countries. And Singapore already has enough influence of Indian diaspora into their politics, into their economy. And that means that India has these friendly constituencies in Singapore which are going to support that kind of orientation of Singapore leadership in engaging India much more seriously.
Professor Singh, thank you so much for this lucid explanation on India-Sri Lanka bilateral relationship.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on strengthening partnership between India and Singapore. The participants were Professor Swaran Singh, international relations expert, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashwani correspondent.